Thank you, Nate. Well, we are in the midst of our Thanksgiving break and holiday coming up soon. And Thanksgiving, if as you may or may not know, is uniquely Christian and distinctly American. It was loosely practiced by many coming at the end of the harvest season based on the Pilgrims' feast with the Indians way back in the 1600s. But it became formalized by Abraham Lincoln in 1863, ironically in the midst of the bloodiest war in American history, the Civil War. And the formal recognition of Thanksgiving was done in an effort to bring unity to a very disunified nation. And I want to read part of the transcript, bits and pieces of President Lincoln's proclamation dated on October 3rd, 1863, when he said this: "This year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. These bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come." He goes on to address a little bit about the current state of the war, but even in the midst of war, he says, "Wealth and strength can be seen in the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged in the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well of iron and coal, as of precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than before. Population has steadily increased. No human counsel has devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered to be merciful. It has seemed fit to me and proper that we should solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledge, as with one heart and one voice, by the whole American people." And he goes throughout the proclamation to recognize and speak of God and his sovereignty even in the midst of the war. This season of Thanksgiving has historically been a season of reverence and reflection. However, over the last number of decades, it has become more about feasting and football. And I want to encourage you before this week starts, or as we start it this week today, I want to exhort you as Christians to guard against this and to remind yourself that the coming week should be about faith, family, and friendships. It's an opportunity to reflect on how much our lives are a result of God's sovereign care, to appreciate the people who've invested in you, the privilege that you've been given to care and to share for those in your life, to remember those who've gone before us, giving us the opportunity to worship in freedom that we currently enjoy. See this next week as a pit stop for life, in the busyness of life and the pace that we run, to slow down and reflect, to fuel up, to get filled up. And one way that you may do this is through a wonderful tool that I actually posted this morning in the Facebook Oikos group. And it's a tool that Kim and I have used for years. It's called Thanksgiving, A Time to Remember by Dennis and Barbara Rainey. And actually, I was looking for this resource. We had a CD and it got misplaced or borrowed and it never got back to us somehow. But I just actually found it this morning where Barbara Rainey now has her own podcast, and I found the links and posted it to you. And actually, I downloaded the MP3, so now I have it forever until my Google Drive goes down. And it's about a one-hour presentation. There's two links that you can go, and I'd really highly encourage you to listen to it. It's the story of the Pilgrims and their journey to this land, and the repeated hardships that they had to endure. And they had to rely on the character and the sovereignty of God versus trying to do some mystical reading of circumstances. And it's ironic that if they had merely counted difficult things as God's way of closing the door, they would have never come. They would never have made it. For instance, here are some of the challenges that they had to endure. Obviously, before they ever got on the boat, they spent a decade or more going from country to country because of difficulties and persecutions. But when they finally did purchase a boat, it was not the Mayflower that they originally purchased. It was a boat called the Speedwell. and it had multiple problems which delayed their departure. And actually afterwards, William Bradford in his book actually believes that actually the captain basically came up with those problems to steal the wealth from the pilgrims. But God even used that. They endured 97 days on a boat through great storms that actually caused them to drift about 60 miles north of their intended destination. They landed in late November rather than arriving a month or two earlier, which when they originally set out the timeline they were planning to do. They didn't get off the boat and still start building their permanent or more of a permanent housing until mid to late December. But even at that point, only one pilgrim had died during the voyage. Only one out of the 102 had died because actually he disobeyed captain's orders. I think it was to take lemon juice or something like that on a daily basis. But the winter storms through end of December, January, and February, and March ended up costing nearly 50% of their lives. 15 out of the 19 women died. The majority of married couples lost at least one spouse. Ironically, the children fared very well. Only 90% of the young girls survived and about 70% of the boys. Now, you may say that's shocking, but let me compare that to Jamestown, which was a settlement down in Virginia that was not founded for religious purposes. And out of the 1,200 settlers there in the year 1619, only 200 survived in 1620. So nearly 88% loss. And it's interesting that many of us think that understanding God's will is about the path of least resistance. But that's not the case when you read their story and you listen to them. Because they were not pursuing comfort, but they were following their convictions. And the equation for life is not about what will make life easier, but what will bring God glory. And so as you listen to their story, hopefully this week, you'll see what it really looks to walk by faith and not by sight. And faith isn't always the door that swings open for you. That doesn't always mean that's the door that God wants you to walk through. In fact, oftentimes God's will will come with difficulties and challenges. If it's too easy, you might want to ask, is this really God's will? Because comfort does not produce godliness, folks. Jesus promised hardships and persecutions, not feasts, but oftentimes famine. So I want to encourage you this week during the Thanksgiving time to take a reflection and maybe ask yourself this question during your family gathering. Instead of what to be thankful for, maybe this question, the question is a little bit different. Tell me about a situation where you originally viewed it as negative, but God turned it to good. So maybe at Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, maybe even with your unbelieving family and friends, you ask the question, tell us about a situation that you originally viewed as negative, but God sovereignly turned to good. Actually, I want you to stop and reflect that right now. What situation this past year for you viewed originally as negative, but God in his great sovereignty and care turned it to good? Does anyone want to share? I'd love to hear. Arthur.
I had a very bad habit with being angry. And my wife finally could not deal with it anymore, and she asked me to leave. And in that 1 year that we were separated, God healed the anger. And to this day, surprisingly, I don't get angry. And that was over 20 years ago.
Praise God. Thanks, Arthur, for sharing. One other?
I
consider that question. I think in America, we discern God's will as open doors. And I don't think that's a proper way of discerning God's will. Well, for the rest of this morning, I do want to focus on gratitude or thanksgiving. That was more of an introduction and an encouragement for this coming week. But I do want to spend the next rest of our time looking through several passages on gratitude. And as I was reading through things this morning, I have to remind, what came out to me in the number of verses that I was just reading through, thinking through, praying through this morning is that gratitude is often focused on others. In fact, it is almost nearly impossible to have an attitude of gratitude if you are not thinking about others. I think the ironic situation of the tax collector, he had tax collector, and the Pharisees showed up at the temple one day. And in Luke 18, it talks about the prayer of the Pharisee, and he says, God, I thank you that I'm not like this other man, or like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give all my tithes that I get. And he goes on and on. And the tax collector just pours out his heart and said, have mercy on me, a sinner, O God. And Jesus said, that man, the tax collector, is justified as he walks away. And it reminded me this morning that, you know, the gratitude that the Pharisee claimed that he had wasn't gratitude because he was solely focused on himself, what he had done and what he was and was not. And then I read about the story about the 10 lepers. Jesus heals the 10 lepers and tells them to go to the temple and cleanse themselves. And only one of them came back and thanked Christ for healing him. Now, so I want to encourage you this week that as you're looking at being grateful and thankful, that you look outward and you ask yourselves those questions. Who has God used in your life to bless you and encourage you and even challenge you? Parents. Parenting is difficult, and sometimes we recognize that our kids can be challenging, or they can have requests at certain times of the day and night that cause us to have to think outside of ourselves and think of them. One of the passages I came across this morning was during the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples in Luke 22. It says this, and he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of heaven comes. And then he took the bread, and when he had given thanks a second time, he broke it and gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thanksgiving is a vital part of our worship, is it not? Thanksgiving is a vital part of our worship. And when we take communion, which here at our church we practice on the last Sunday of the month, it's a time to be grateful, to be thankful, to remember what Christ has done for us. And even before Christ sacrifices and is led to the cross the evening before, he demonstrates this act of communion and he gives thanks each time. Can you imagine knowing that you're going to suffer for the sins of the world the day before, and you're giving thanks for that opportunity? That's what Christ did. Ironically, the godless do not give thanks. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul describes the downward spiral of the godless, and he says, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Ephesians 1, which we actually covered several months ago, gives an interesting dichotomy between the godless and the wicked and the righteous. It says this, Ephesians chapter 1, or chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So there's one. But the sexual immoral and all the impurity but sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. And let there be no filthiness or foolishness of talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Ironic, right? Sexually immoral, impurity, covetousness, filthiness of talk, foolish talk, joking, and then there's thankfulness. One simple word, thankfulness, as opposed to all those other items. Because what is sexual immorality and impurity and filthy? It's usually self-centered, is it not? I mean, godly or ungodliness or sinners or the wicked, the difference between the ungodly and the godly is the ungodly, we were focused on ourselves, were we not? Life was all about me, myself, and I. And one of the great, wonderful changes of Christianity is life no longer becomes about me, myself, and I, because Christ has met those needs, those eternal needs. Colossians 2, verse 6 says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thankfulness. So one of the key ingredients of walking with Christ is this attitude of gratitude. This attitude of gratitude. And I was thinking about this earlier this morning as well, that one of the big differences between religions and Christianity is, we've said this before, it's do versus done. And when you think about all the religions, I mean, there's countless of them, right? It's all about acts, tasks, accomplishments, so that you might be able to measure up to this God that you've formed or someone's formed in your own mind. But as you scale the ladder of that particular religion, those folks often become prideful, do they not? But in Christianity, as you scale into maturity like Christ, you become more humble because you realize how little you actually have. So in religion, you scale the ladder and you become prideful. In Christianity, you scale the ladder and become humble. And one of the marked difference is pride versus gratitude. Self-centered in my accomplishments versus, wow, how much of other people poured into my life? How much has God done for me? Measuring yourself by yourself versus measuring yourself by the character of God and what he's done for us. So that's why this next week, one of the reasons, it can be a wonderful, wonderfully worshipful week for us. Because it's not about us. And even as we thank people that God has used in our life, ultimately it's not about us, it's about the glory of God. A few other verses I want to cover here this morning before we wrap things up. We've been talking about prayer. We talked about that recently last week when I finished up the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, in that passage, it didn't link prayerfulness with gratitude or thanksgiving, but in several other passages it does, particularly in Ephesians 4, verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And a final verse for this morning on an attitude of gratitude comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in most circumstances. No, it says give thanks in all circumstances. Whether that is painful or pleasurable, whether it's meeting your timeline or not meeting your timeline, whether it accomplishes what you want or what you don't want, in all circumstances. And it goes back to the sovereignty of God. Can we trust God with our lives? And when you do, you can be thankful because you know he has a better plan than what you had waking up this morning. His to-do list is far greater than my to-do list. What he has accomplished is far greater than what I can ever accomplish. And his glory is far superior than anything that we can accomplish for ourselves. So as you're starting this week off, I do hope that you have a day or two where you can step back from life, the busyness. I want to encourage you not to backfill it with a bunch of other things and commitments. And that's the wonderful thing I love about Thanksgiving is it's not crowded with all the holidays and all the purchasing and all those things. Yeah, there's some preparation, especially if you're having people over or if you're going somewhere. But also, hopefully, you have the opportunity to stop and reflect, to be grateful, to be thankful in all circumstances. Whether 2023 has been a mostly positive year for you or a mostly negative year for you, you have the opportunity to be grateful because guess what? God will use whatever year this was for your good and his glory. He's promised that. Give it some time, or maybe an eternity, we'll be able to look back and say, God, you're always good all the time. Let's pray. God, the world is surrounded by us, and they claim that life is only good if the bank account is full, and we have nice things, and things come easy, and there's a list of wonderful activities in front of us, and the list goes on and on. But God, a blessed life is not about the externals, it's about the eternal. It's not about the temporary, it's about the eternal. It's not about what we can do and accomplish, it's about what you have done and accomplished. Lord, we're so thankful that regardless of where we are all at, regardless of what has or has not happened, God, we can bow our heads, we can remember your character and your kindness, or we can remember the hope that we have in Christ that can never be taken away from us. The future hope and promise that, Lord, for many of us, we have loved ones who are there enjoying that. But yet, no one here, God, has experienced that firsthand. But we will. We will pass through this temporary life and meet our Savior. And we look forward to that day, Lord. So, God, as this week gives us unique opportunity to reflect and to remember, I would pray that it would be a week worthy of worship of you. Well, I do pray that you'd bring to our memory those things that we thought at first were negative. Remind us, God, how you've turned them to good. And God, only you can do that, and we're so thankful for that. Or as we take some time and we sing, well, I pray that you would allow our emotions to meld with our minds. I think that's one of the purposes of songs, not just to intellectually agree with something, but connect it with our whole being, our mind and our emotions. And God, lift up our spirits today for your glory. And that, God, so we can also be a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.